And at the end of the day, too, it's like you're building a brand no matter what, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Whether you're consciously deciding methodically, this is the brand I want to create, or you're not doing any of that, you're still creating a brand.
This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Float Shark with your boy.
My boy.
Matt Wolf and Joe Fair.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Hey. I am back. You were back.
We're both
all
back.
Here together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Hustle and Flowchart Studios.
We are
doing our thing.
Official. It's registered, trademarked.
None of the above.
We shouldn't have said that. Yeah. So we're back. And this episode is going to, we're going to deep dive into branding.
Yes.
And our thoughts and our experience and what we're learning about branding and the psychology of it.
Yep. We've been real, like, that's been a big focus in our business lately, is getting like real dialed in with the brand, as you can tell by, you know, the video stuff that we're doing and the fact that we're trying to up level the quality, and like we're getting a new website designed, which we'll probably talk about a little bit more in this episode, but like we're putting a huge focus on branding, and there's some very specific reasons why we're focused on branding right now, why we feel now is the time to be branding.
Uh-huh.
We also feel like there's some very low hanging fruit ways that people can put some focus on brand. So that's the kind of stuff we're going to cover in this episode.
A lot of thoughts that you probably haven't thought about yourself when it comes to brands and your business and what you're putting out into the world as like a ripple effect.
Yes.
There's a cool video we'll reference during this whole thing. A
couple videos, yeah.
A few different things we'll share. And of course, we want to get the action guides of this episode.
For sure.
Because they're always a lot more coherent than we are. No, at least
Sue takes our ramblings and makes them actually coherent. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. You are the best. So go get those. They are free within 2 weeks of this episode going live. If you go to flowchartgroup.com, not if, when you go to flowchartgroup.com, you'll have the opportunity to not only join our Facebook group, but also get the action guides. If you plug in your email address, we will send them to you. And you'll get the action guides of this episode. Yeah. Basically, it's like Cliff Notes.
Yes.
Takeaways. So, what else? We have a sponsor.
We do.
A lovely sponsor. And, you know, we should give them some light right now, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about them right now.
Yeah, we are back with, this is Ahrefs. So, Ahrefs came back, and they, you know, a lot of y'all have been talking a lot about the Ahrefs stuff.
We've talked a lot about Ahrefs stuff.
We did a lot of talking about Ahrefs, yes, for years now. And it's a good thing, because you hear all the SEO experts come across our podcast. This is the tool they're always talking about. It's Ahrefs. Well, there's something new from Ahrefs, and we want to tell, Matt's going to tell you about it.
Yeah, Ahrefs actually has a free version. So if you've been hearing us talk about Ahrefs and you're like, that sounds cool, I need to get me some of that. Well, guess what? They got a free one if you haven't been able to afford the previous one. It's over at ahrefs.com/AWT. That stands for Ahrefs Webmaster Tools, and it's their new free entry into the SEO market. You can get in there. It gives you tons of stats, SEO issue monitoring, advice on how to fix issues. You can see all the backlinks to your website, broken link data, link type data, crazy, the various keywords, SEO metrics. All of this is in the free plan over at ahrefs.com/AWT.
No credit card required. Go sign up. ahrefs.com/AWT. All right, we're back. It's like magic, huh?
That was cool.
How we do that. Yeah. We have cool lights now.
We do.
Like, this is all part of our branding here.
Yeah, we're still sort of
watching us on video, that is.
Yeah, if you are watching, we are kind of experimenting still with the look and the camera quality and the lighting. We actually messed with the lighting today to see if we can get different lighting quality. We've got some rotating color. We're actually sitting in new chairs, too. I can actually show the chair. Look.
Ooh, don't do that. Ew! That's that chair. That's a fancy IKEA chair.
It's a fancy $40 IKEA chair that I actually really like not having the restrictions of the other chair behind me.
We have a beautiful all 33 chairs that Lisa Beyer hooked us up with, and we had Bing on the podcast, and he's the founder of all 33. We've been using those kind of like we're experimenting in different locations.
We like those chairs, but we felt like when we were recording in this spot, we felt kind of restrained.
That's what we're noticing.
Yeah, we couldn't get as close as we needed to on some of the videos.
We like to cuddle.
Yeah, like we actually have a green screen. Should I show them the green screen?
No, then we're going to have to screw with the lights.
Oh, yeah,
How about with our fancy video editing that we are doing? You have to go hop over to YouTube to see this, slflowchart.tv. But we bought an Elgato green screen that's this collapsible one that goes...
Yep.
We have like lights on there and stuff. Let's not get it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, maybe the video just showed what that looks like. Or maybe we'll make some B-roll.
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, so you'll probably start to see videos of us. I mean, you might have already seen some of them where we're kind of doing tutorials and we're on screen, but like we're kind of like blended in with the video.
But we're in the ether. It
looks really cool when we do that. And so we've been playing with that a little bit and having some fun. So
yeah, Elgato. That's a Elgato. It's a cool brand. I mean, they're pumping out all sorts of cool gear like this that's actually fairly, well, it's very cost effective for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're just kind of condensing down all the necessary things and making them kind of easy to all work together.
Yeah, I mean,
some new arms for the podcast.
Yeah, we've got the mic arms coming. We've got our camera. It actually records in 4K. We're not recording in 4K right now. We'll actually talk about that later in the episode. But it's actually hooked up through a Camlink 4K, which is also made by Elgato. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got an Elgato Stream Deck over at another desk over there. Like, we're kind of becoming Elgato fanboys.
For good reason, except for the lights. Those ones are a little bit still, they're almost like,
well, their lights are good. They're just kind of expensive.
Exactly. Like, so, but that's not the point of this episode.
Yeah.
Branding is not all about the equipment that you have. It's probably not at all about the equipment that you have, let's be honest.
No.
Or the lights that are shining behind
but
us.
But what equipment you do buy.
It's good point. So, point of kind of talking about Elgato and how much we've been loving them and our Apple Mini, Mac Mini. Yeah. Or our Rode products, like our microphone and Rodecaster Pro. These are all brands.
Yeah.
And they're all brands that we feel that are part of our podcasting.
I do feel like we're
creator journey, if you think about it, like our identity.
Yeah, so like the point you're making is like the tech doesn't matter for your brand. Like, you don't need the best cameras, the best lighting, the best backdrops, the best studio, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. But the tech that you do get is very influenced by the brand, right? Like, right now I feel like there's really three brands that are dominant in our office right now. I would say it's Apple, Elgato, and Rode, right? We've got Rode mics, Rodecaster, we've got Apple, like, three or four Apple computers around here. We're both using iPhones. We've got all the Elgato stuff we just talked about. It's like those three brands are very prevalent in this office studio.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly what's happening here. And I think at a deeper level with brands and what we'll be chatting about now in this episode is let's now uncover what's actually happening underneath, I guess, more the obvious sides of just buying products that you enjoy.
Yeah.
There's a deeper level thing, and there's a video that was sent to us by our buddy and a really good, you know, we're starting to do some biz together, but Angelo Cisco from Hustle. Hustle? No, it's not from Hustle.
Hustlin' Hippies? Alpha Hippie.
That's Hustle and Hippies, but Alpha Hippie. And, you know, he was just on the podcast recently. Check it out. But it was this video from Big Think, and this is a YouTube video, called How Apple and Nike Have Branded Your Brain. And this is your brain on money.
Yeah. And then there was another video that I was watching last night. And it's like a 45-minute video. And I watched the whole thing start to finish. I was just sucked in. I sent it over to Joe. I think Joe pretty much watched the whole thing. I think earlier,
I will tell you exactly. I watched half.
You watched half. Yeah. Most of the points I brought up, you were like, yeah, I remember that part, though. So you've watched, like,
I sped watched.
Yeah, you watched a lot of the big chunks. But, like, these two videos, there's, like, a lot of overlap in ideas. And these two videos specifically have led to a lot of discussions between us in the office over the last couple of days. Right. So it's like, that's what we want to talk about
today. Well, in that video you're referencing is a interview from Colin and Samir, who we've been watching closely. Jacob, our content lead of content. We still have figured out a perfect title for you, Jacob. But, you know, he's been obsessing over Colin and Samir. And if you watch them on YouTube, he has, or they have, they basically talk about the creators. And they really talk about the creator economy or that whole thing. And so they're interviewing Mr. Beast, Jimmy, what, Donaldson?
Yeah, Jimmy Donaldson.
Yeah. So Mr. Beast, big, massive YouTuber doing amazing things, and he's doing a lot with his brand that might not be so obvious. So that interview was really cool for a lot of reasons. Like, the editing was freaking awesome.
Yeah, they do a good job with their editing.
Like, that's kind of like where we're trying to take things partially with this podcast. But at the same time, it was cool to understand what one of the leading YouTubers are doing outside of just the obvious YouTube videos he's producing that are getting, you know, millions of views, tens of millions of views, hundreds of millions of views. But, like, he has this whole thing that's happening that's attached to his brand that's, like, philanthropic. He's got a massive vision. He has Beast Burger.
So what you're saying is he's got a very big why behind it all.
He's got a massive why.
Yes. So
those are the two videos we'll be referencing in this here episode that we'll likely link in the show notes and all that stuff. Yeah, talk about the why, because we actually put some structure behind this episode, y'all.
Yeah, it's
for your benefit.
We're trying to get more structured. We've listened to some of our other episodes
I feel
and
like
went
I'm hunching here in this chair. I'm like,
yeah,
got to get used to these chairs.
Yeah, this is a new experience. But yeah, so let's talk specifically why we've been so focused on brand lately. I think from our perspective, the brand is the 80-20 of what can move the needle the most in our business, mm-hmm. right? Like for so many years, we were focused very much on direct response sort of strategies. Mm-hmm. We were very focused on run this Facebook ad. If I'm spending $50 a day and I'm making $70 a day, it's working well. Run these Google ads, focus on SEO, focus on, you know, the email list, all this very like direct response, very much like
measurable.
When I do this, it's measurable whether or not that thing worked or not. Mm-hmm. Now, branding is a little bit more ambiguous. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a little bit harder to tell the efforts from your brand, but the way we see it is the bigger the brand we can build, the more attention that we can create on us, and then we can essentially sell that attention, right? Like
arbitrage.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk, yeah. I don't remember these are the exact words, but he spoke at TNC a few years ago, and these words stuck with both of us for a long time, is that all we're doing is day trading attention.
That's it.
Right? Yeah, he's day trading attention. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to build as much attention around our brand as possible. Our YouTube channel, our Hustle and Flowchart podcast, our email list, our Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. We're starting to experiment with TikTok. We've thrown around the idea of messing around on Twitch. I don't know if that stuff's going to happen, but it's all stuff that we're kind of experimenting with right now, because the more audience we can grow, the more attention we can get. You can then go and sell that attention to advertisers.
In a variety of ways. But yeah. Sponsorships, affiliate type things, relationships, partnerships of any sort.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, we've realized that there's a lot more to, you know, being disjointed with what you put out into the world. I mean, at least from our journey, again, this is where we'll obviously relate to a lot during this conversation, is we've developed tons of products, mm-hmm. tons of types of content that don't really necessarily connect with each other until we got really intentional about, like, what is the brand? What's the thing that kind of houses all of these things? And do these things even make sense?
Yeah.
And how do they connect if they do make sense? Like, how can we kind of create a journey throughout this whole thing? But even besides that, like these two videos, mainly that your brain on money video, mm-hmm. talked about the psychology of branding. And mm-hmm. it really got into, you know, when you create a brand or these brands that you purchase, like these Apple products and stuff, we act differently depending on the brands we choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like different responses happening. We almost like treat them like we would our friend group or identities attached to these brands. And we started really thinking about this is, and we've been told this many times over, like with the brand that we put out into the world, there is this flavor, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's, we've polished things up along the way, like got a studio, got mm-hmm. better microphones, got a better camera, got a little slicker equipment around us here, got a clock on the table here.
Got a Trevor Hoffman bobblehead.
You know, it's all the stuff that really creates a good brand.
Yeah.
But, you know, like what we thought about is it's not all the things, but it's Tano's gonna hate me. Inside joke, pod hacker joke.
Yeah.
We're not doing all this just to like be a totally different type of podcast or anything. It's basically amplifying us.
Yeah. Well,
and the flavor that we've already been putting out there and making sure we're not losing touch of what we've already put out there successfully.
Yeah.
And that ripple effect that we want to do.
And at the end of the day, too, it's like you're building a brand. No matter what, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, whether you're consciously deciding methodically, this is the brand I want to create, or you're not doing any of that, you're still creating a brand,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think our mentality has shifted over the last, let's call it 2 years, that we've realized we're creating this brand and people are seeing us as a brand. Let's be methodical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop just kind of seeing where it takes us and you know, letting people attach their own emotions and thoughts about what our brand is supposed to be. And let's start telling people what we want them to perceive our brand as.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of like a key why we're so focused on brand now is, like you said, Mars Burden and...
I didn't mention him, but yeah, talk about that because I was alluding to it a little bit.
Yeah, so we have this buddy, Mars. Joe and him go way back. He's kind of a newer buddy to me, but...
Martin, a little preference. He has done so many launch videos, these massive product launch videos, these live streams for...
Oh, he's been behind like all of the biggest launches, all of them.
Yeah, let me talk about like these are are like marketing type business owner launch, like, you know, like big product launches where they're launching like how to, well, he did Rich Sheffrin's
live stream. Launches I've worked with him on were for a Dan Kennedy project and for Rich Sheffrin product. So it's like, He's working with high level.
Yeah, he's done a lot of massive productions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he basically told us, because we told him we were going to start up-leveling some stuff. This is before this studio came into the picture. But he basically said, he was like, just don't lose you guys. Yeah. Like, don't get too fancy.
Well, what I was going to say, too, is that like the brand that we had created up until that point was this brand of like two normal dudes that are both dads, both family guys who like are just kind of low budget, kind of slapping it together, right? Yeah. Like we're kind of duct taping this whole business together. And we, like, if you watched our old videos, we were in my office, Joe was in like a rocking chair, I was in a desk chair. We had like mic arms that were designed for like singing, but like we were using them so that we could sit anywhere we wanted in the office. It was very-
Sometimes we'd stand up and act like we were singing.
Yeah, we would stand up for some, like a lot of episodes, we were actually standing, pacing around the office while we were talking. Like, but that is kind of what our brand became. We weren't doing it intentionally. We're just like, this is what works for us to make sure we do the content consistently. It was us. Yeah. But the brand almost became like the guys who are just kind of like just figuring it out as they go along, and they're not polished, but you know, what comes out comes out.
F it.
And we liked that brand image, but we're like, cool. We know how the perception is now. Now let's refine it.
That's it. Without losing it.
Without losing it. Yeah.
And this is actually, we chatted with Lisa Beyer. You know, she's our unofficial PR, maybe official PR maven. Mm-hmm. And we had her as an expert for Podhacker. And if you don't know anything about Podhacker, go to podhacker.com because you'll want to know.
Yes, you will.
So she was one of our monthly Podhacker experts this month today. And at the time of this recording, and we told her about some of this vision, and she kind of reiterated that in her own words. Is like, you know, you guys don't need to probably do that much drastic changes with what you're doing because you have a lot of good stuff and you don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
So, and we talked about brand with her. She's PR. And that's when we watched this video. We started thinking about it. We're going through a website rebrand.
Yes.
We've obviously done a rebrand of the visuals of our podcast and how we do things here. So we're like, okay, this is very interesting because there's a lot of deeper stuff we haven't thought about.
Yeah.
Like how people really attach to us and our podcast brand or the thing we put out there. And then when you flip this around and look at what you're doing, I'm talking to you, the listener right now, is like, what are you currently, like, what's your flavor that you're putting out to the world? And how are people attracted to you rather than your competitors?
Yeah.
Even if you're in like a red ocean type thing, like we kind of are, the marketing-based podcast, a business show, it's like, yeah, haven't heard of those before.
No, there's none of, no others. I can't think of one.
Right, yeah. So, but why would people listen to us? Why are you listening to us or watching us right now?
Yeah.
There's a reason,
it's,
you know?
Yeah, it's true. And you know, going back to some of the things that we're doing is, you know, earlier, before we kind of got into this, I mentioned we're shooting on a camera that shoots in 4K, but we're actually shooting in 1080p,
right?
And part of that is kind of keeping with that sort of relatability roughness sort of thing, right? Like, this was actually a comment from that Mr. Beast interview on Colin and Samir. He was actually mentioning that they have 4K cameras, but they shoot everything in 1080p. And they asked, well, why do you shoot in 1080p? And he's like, as soon as you go to 4K, you start to become unrelatable. People see your videos and go like, that's almost too polished. Like,
it's, you know, like the shaky camera versus the Steadicam.
Yeah, right? Like some of the channels I really like are Marquez Brownlee and the Linus Tech Tips is another one. And then there's that what's the guy's name? Peter McKinnon. Right? Like all of these guys, these guys are shooting like ultra high quality videos, and I watch them and I'm like, I love these videos, but it just it feels so polished. It feels like at a level I don't know if I'll ever be able to get to. Like we could get there if we wanted to, but our audience may not be wanting to get to those kinds of levels. So let's kind of hang out in this level.
Yeah, we could lose the relatability. And I think that's what Mars was saying. That's probably what Lisa was kind of saying as well. Is, you know, like there is this thing you're putting out into the world that is a little deeper psychologically than we might not, or we might be thinking, because we're looking at the aesthetics. We're looking at the, you know, oh, where, what platform am I putting this content on?
Yeah.
And when am I doing these things? And like, but it's, you know, the actions that we're taking, like we're both drinking yerba mate for some reason right now, and it's fabulous. Cheers.
Yeah, I haven't had a yerba mate in probably a year, so this
Wow. Well, change of pace. The yerba mate I'm drinking, or that we're drinking from, is probably 3 years old.
Well, there you go.
Still works. But you know, there's certain things that we'll talk about. We talk about Padres a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we love baseball.
Burritos.
Team burritos.
We literally had somebody buy us burritos because we talk. We had Ryan Carruthers. Thank you, Ryan.
He loves it when we shout.
Yeah, we had Ryan buy us burritos because we talk about burritos so much on these episodes. $50
go a long way, bro. Especially when you're talking Mexican food.
Yeah, well, that was burritos and drinks.
That, all right, so a little inside secret, Ryan. Yeah, you afforded us enough to also buy some alcoholic drinks, which we still have in our mini fridge over there.
And so, we recorded one podcast while drinking them, at least. So.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
So, but that's a result, a great result of a brand.
Yeah.
And something that someone attached to, Ryan in this case, but I know it's been brought up now many times. Sue even brought it up.
Yeah.
As a potential PR play. She's like, you guys should rate a bunch of burritos.
Dude, that would actually be a legit video.
Something about
go to like go around San Diego, go to like 10 different taco shops, buy a California burrito from each of them, and then you and I just like you only take one or two bites out of each, but then we like rank them.
Do we do it here, like stack them? Like, do we actually, is this a hey, let's go film us go picking up burritos yes. from random taco shops?
I think we get like, b-roll yeah. of us picking up the burritos, okay. but then okay. we actually do the reviews here.
I like it. Cool.
But like, you know,
let's do that.
What you're saying too is like part of the reason that I point out stuff like this isn't real wood, this is just cloth. Like you could see the wrinkles. It like
see this fat wrinkle right here.
Yeah,
we haven't even sprayed water on this thing.
We could iron this out and make it look really polished, but we're lazy, and so we haven't. And we point out the fact that like, look, we're not doing everything perfectly.
This is a hack job.
Yeah, this is a white wall with a piece of cloth that looks like wood over it. Okay,
it looks like a dorm room in most of our office in here. Okay, we're not gonna lie, but
we point that stuff out, and I feel like most of the I feel like there's so many other creators out there that want to give off this perception that they're always polished all the time and everything is always the best you can buy.
Yeah,
right. And like we're giving off the perception of like we want it to look like the best you can buy, but look, we're thrift store shopping to build our studio. You know,
it wasn't thrift store.
It wasn't.
But if it was
idea,
if it was at a thrift store, we damn well would
have bought
it.
It was a metaphor, damn it.
But we would have bought it if we saw it at a thrift store. So there's I want to look at, because we actually did do some planning on this episode.
Yep.
Is that another thing is like managing perceptions. I feel like with a brand, you know, you have the ability, and this is not just talking about us, by the way, we're just using us as an example, but we want you to think about yourself and your business and the brand that you may or may not have already. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you just haven't started anything yet. Cool. Think about that flavor, that thing you want to put in the world that allows people to attach to you. You're unique, but also there's like this bond that is almost like it's you can't put a finger on what it actually is, mm-hmm. but it's like the essence.
Yeah, you know, and well, that psychology, the psychology video, I already forgot the title of the YouTube video, but the one that we were watching earlier.
It is called How Apple and Nike Have Branded Your Brain.
Yeah, but basically the point it was making is that you almost see some of the brands that you're really attached to as like another family member, right? Like they were talking about how Apple users and Samsung users were like using their devices and they were given bad news about Apple, right? And like the people that were Apple users actually felt like, I don't remember the wording they used.
They were empathetic.
They were like, oh no, poor Apple.
They said that they did brain scans.
Yeah.
And they said that the Apple fan girls and boys basically had an empathetic response like it was someone in their family.
Yeah. Which is crazy that like you can build a brand and get that brand to a point where people will defend the brand.
Yep.
Right? Like when you go out and you be like, I hate Apple, there's always going to be somebody that's like, what's wrong with Apple? Sure. I love my Apple phone. Yeah. You know, like that, like Apple has defenders, right? Like how do you build a brand where people go to bat for that brand and as if you were a family member?
And then you have the Samsung folks, which they were talking about. They did a brain scan of those folks and they said the same thing, and they said they basically had the flip. Mm-hmm. It was like the hatred of Apple came out.
Yeah,
it was like this
good
Apple
blew something.
They
good.
Deserve it. Those
yeah. Well, what I also found interesting about the study that they did was it wasn't like there was Apple fans and there was Samsung fans,
right?
There was Apple fans and there was people who hated Apple. Mm. So the ones that bought Samsung, they weren't doing it because they had brand loyalty towards Samsung.
Nope.
They were buying it because they just didn't want Apple.
So think about like other brands, like that has to be showing up in a lot of other ways. Mm-hmm. Like think about, well, actually we brought up Gary Vee. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that love Gary Vee, and there's a lot of people that hate the rah-rah hustle of Gary Vee.
Yeah.
It's not good or bad, but it's like, it's a flavor.
Yeah.
Grant Cardone's another great one.
Yeah.
You either love him or you hate him. There's not really an in-betweener. It's not like, oh, I can just kind of, I'm kind of meh about either. Nah.
Yeah. And I think that's a big piece of getting a brand right, is you've got to stand for something, and you've got to have people that like what you stand for and people that don't like what you stand for, but you got to stand for something.
Yeah. It's not right or wrong. It's just,
yeah,
how do you want to show up and what do you want to do with your brand?
Yeah. No, and it was a very, very fascinating study. Like I just found it so interesting that, you know, you've got people, when they were talking about Apple, you've got people that will literally go to bat for the brand if people are talking crap.
Yeah.
You've got people that, like, every time a product comes out, they go buy the product just because that logo is on it.
Wait in line overnight, all that stuff. So I guess to pose it back to the listener, watcher, is like, how do you want to be identified with your brand? I think being very intentional with that before you maybe get too deep into things or start going any direction, that's almost like a North Star that is internal, like this compass that you can have and define for yourself and choose, like, hey, this is how I want to show up, but also this is how I want people to identify with my brand and whatever I'm creating, because I know, and you know, we all know, that what we're creating isn't just to create some random crap and throw it out there. Like, there's a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
And there's a ripple effect. So what is that thing that we want to push out, not push out, but like give to the world?
Right.
And then certain people will attach to it and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might buy burritos for you.
Yeah.
Some people might share, you know. You know what I mean? Like, that's how loyal customers become a thing. That's why we sometimes get hate mail when we change the intro of our podcast.
Yeah.
But it's actually love mail. I know.
Well, when we were talking to Lisa earlier,
it's layered in love.
She asked if we were going to change our logo with our rebrand of our website. And we're like, yeah, we're going to make some small tweaks. She's like, I'm really attached to the logo, so don't change it too much.
Like, so, rightly so. Yeah. So that might be one we don't touch.
Yeah.
We just said, yeah, maybe the background a little bit to match the. And she's like, okay, believe the face.
Yeah. we've got to be careful to not go too far away from the brand identity that people have associated us with, right? Like, people associate us as this certain brand. And if we were to go and change the image, change the intro, get super serious on our podcast where we're just straight laced, like perfect interviewers now, people would probably check out. They'd be like, that's not who I signed up for. No, you know, like,
that ain't ever gonna happen. We are studying Andrew Warner's book on how to be a better interviewer, but we're never gonna be Andrew Warner.
We're never,
from Mixergy, if you're just wondering.
Very true.
So what else we got, Matt?
Well, another thing that I found interesting about that video was he was talking about, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, I don't do brands. I don't wear shirts with brands on it. I don't show off logos. I don't do brands at all.
You do more brands than actually, you're going straight up Rocky National.
This is an Estes Park shirt, which is from the town I just got back from, and this is a Rocky Mountain National Park hat, which is right on the
Yesterday you had an Estes Park hat. Oh no, yeah, Estes Park brewery hat.
Yes.
So we know where his loyalty lies.
Yes.
It's in Colorado.
My loyalty lies to Colorado. Yeah.
I am unbranded.
Yeah. Well, the point that they were making, though, was like, even the people that go out there and say, like, I don't attach to brands, I don't like brands, that's your brand.
Yeah.
Right? Your brand is somebody who doesn't want to be identified with brands.
I'm the unidentifiables.
You are the same as the people who do identify with a brand, except what you identify with is that you don't like to wear or
we don't,
you know,
choose
publicized brands.
Yeah. Which is interesting because there's, I don't know what it is, but all this stuff is happening in our customers, our listeners, our viewers' minds that we should definitely be understanding and thinking about.
Yeah.
And at least being like proactive with like, how do we want to put ourselves into the world? That's why we're like this website we're getting redone right now by Studio One Design, Greg Merrilies.
Yes.
Highly recommend those guys. Tell them we sent you.
They also did our Hustle and Flowchart shirt logo too.
Yeah, the one that is wildly popular.
Yes.
But yeah, you'll love this whole thing, but it's going to be an extension of us. It's going to be nomoreevergreenprofits.com. That's basically not really us.
Just go there now because we haven't changed it over
yet. Still go there. Yeah. But when it's rebranded and you'll see the difference.
Yeah.
But you'll see how this is how we have been thinking through our brand. And we've hired someone, Greg, and his team who understands our brand. He actually listens. Hi, Greg. And so, like, it's really cool to have someone to help further our brand, but also it's up to us to figure out, like, okay, is that really how we want to be, you know, looking like in, and is that how we want to basically like put our brand out into the world? And one of the things that Lisa said also is to kind of like that a lot of people, when they do a rebrand, like when you kind of switch things up in the future, remember she was like, that doesn't normally go well.
Yeah.
And we, because I think she was a little hesitant with us doing that.
Yeah.
Because of her experience, like 20 plus years doing this and seeing people do that, our companies do it. But we explained how it's actually been this more of a confusing thing than anything.
Yeah. Well, we like everybody. So we have Evergreen Profits and we have Hustle and Flowchart. People know us more for Hustle and Flowchart, mm-hmm. yet we're driving everybody to evergreenprofits.com. So we're actually, we're actually taking the brand that most people know us for and leaning more into it. We're not rebranding Evergreen Profits to Hustle and Flowchart. We already have the Hustle and Flowchart brand. We're just going all in on the brand.
Yeah. So I think like what she said is extremely wise words. And, you know, it wasn't really our scenario. At least I don't think we're screwing it up.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll find out.
I don't think many people like refer to us as the Evergreen Profits guys. You
used
know?
To be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's more like our friends or customers that have been around for like over 5 years.
People have been
years.
Around for a while, yeah.
Yeah. But like to her point, I think this is like to the listener and you guys listening and watching is making sure that you had the brand kind of understood before you start doing any kind of dramatic things mm-hmm. to the perception of your brand, like to the world. Mm-hmm. And so really understand now, like look at yourself and how are you identifying, like how are people identifying to you right now? How are they attaching to you, like psychologically mm-hmm. and thinking of you? And like, what's the reason why they choose you over another podcast or whatever blog, you know?
And I also say, look at the brands that you're paying attention to and see how, you know, how your relationship is with those brands, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're an Apple user, analyze what drew you to Apple. Was mm-hmm. it because Apple was the sort of hip, trendy brand that all the youngsters were using? Mm-hmm. All the
whippersnappers.
That's what all the whippersnappers are using. And that's right. why you're doing, you're
I can
using
say
Apple.
That 'cause I got a lot of gray.
Yeah. Are you using Apple? Like I'll tell you the reason I use Apple is because when I first started, I was a PC guy for my entire life, all the way up until about 2010-ish, mm-hmm. right? I was always a PC guy. I switched to Apple because this, when we started getting into digital marketing, the people who, the people who were like in our circles, A, all used Apples, and B, convinced me that Apple was the way to go if you want to be a creator. Mm. Like Apple, like they were, I don't know if it's true or not, probably not very big of a difference
it's total
today,
BS.
But what I was told back then was if you're editing video, you should be using an Apple. If you're doing photo editing, you should be using an Apple. If you're doing podcasting, you should be like, it's the creator's choice, right? And I bought into that. I don't know if that's true still to this day. They're probably pretty damn equal, but that's why I bought into Apple. Mm. And now I'm part of that ecosystem and I'm an Apple guy.
Dude, I used to hate on Apple. Yeah. Like back when it was like not the cool thing. But yeah, like my good buddy Brenton I grew up with, like he obsessed over Macs and all that. He's actually flipped the opposite direction, whereas I flipped to Apple, which is ironic. But I converted, I guess, right around you did, the time you did. But I think there's legitimacy to like actually helping creators. But I'm sure we would have been fine using Apple or our PC products.
We'd gotten by for that long.
It would have been
until
fine.
Then.
I'm like, we were doing freaking gaming and video editing and coding and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Prior to whatever.
I just think it's an interesting exercise to look at the brands that you tend to buy and you tend to go to and just kind of go, what gravitated you to that brand? Because that's good intel into like the way your brain works, but also the way other brains work to getting attracted to brands, right? Like we started this episode off by talking about Rode. Well, we have all this Rode stuff because we highly respect Charlie Valor. Mm-hmm. He's one of our podcast gurus who tells us like, this is the equipment you want. This is like he's constantly feeding us really good ways to grow and improve our podcast.
These mics are Rode as
well. And he was like, go with the Rode setup. And we really trusted him. And now we're fans of Rode. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Elgato stuff, Mike Koenigs uses Elgato stuff. George Bryant uses Elgato stuff. It's like, I think when we attach to brands, it's because our peers attach to brands and tell us this is the brand to go with. And then we just kind of agree with them. And there could be way better mics and mixing boards than what we're using. But because our peers are all using this too, like we're kind of going along with the herd a little bit, I guess.
I mean, it works and it solves our things. And yeah, we probably are going with the herd.
It's just an interesting analysis, right? Like it's interesting to think like, why is this a brand that I go for? But that brand, like think about the brands you're repelled by too. Like, are there any brands that you can think of where you're like, I'd never buy that?
I mean, there's probably a lot. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's like,
it's more like, because I feel like most people will gravitate to maybe a handful of brands.
Yeah.
Like there's like, or maybe even one brand for a specific use.
Yeah.
And there's probably some overlap where it's like a reason why you choose like these set of brands collectively over just like, it's not like we're because psychologically, you got to think there's reasons behind all these selections. So there's got to be some kind of like overlaying psychology to why you choose anything.
Yeah.
Like, let's say,
why you're repelled by things too.
And yeah, same thing. Right.
Yeah.
Just the opposite of that. So it's, I don't know what that is. Well, I know from my notes from that video, like a couple things is like, it says humans need a support system.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, like, well, think about it now. It's like in this day and age.
It's a tribalism thing.
It's tribalism. It's also you want to be connected to a group, a community. And think of like now where so many people are on social media. There's YouTube creators with communities. There's like Mr. Beast has all of his, you know, he freaking shouts. Everybody's
people
talking.
Identify as Mr. Beast fans. Like how
exactly.
many, like how many freaking shirts does that dude sell? Like he sells.
That's why swag exists. Bands, you know, like movies. People are like Trekkies or starting, you know, Star Trek.
They identify. There's like a. They've created a tribe of people that all sort of identify with the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're wearing a Mr. Beast shirt and you're out walking around and you see somebody else wearing a Mr. Beast shirt, you're like, hey, like Padres, right? We're both huge Padre fans. If we're walking around, I'm wearing my Padre hat. I see somebody walk by me with a Padre hat. We're giving each other a nod. 100%. We're part of the same community.
I've done that many a times at the zoo, at the, yeah, you know, like just out. I'm like, yeah,
exactly. And like the same with like bands,
Dodger
right?
fans.
Like, yeah,
go back home.
I'm wearing a Padre hat. You're wearing a Dodger fan. You get the finger. You know,
just what it is.
It's just what it is.
Do
it's
here.
What you do.
It's the only right thing to do. No blue here.
But you know,
sorry, like, Luis Diaz.
Yeah,
he's helping us grow some stuff. Thank you.
He is.
Can't talk too much smack.
But yeah, like it's it comes down to that like tribalism thing. You get it with sports teams. You get it with churches. Yeah. You get it with products. You know.
Definitely. Well, yeah, there's a lot of, yeah. So think about, yeah, sports teams is a huge one. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, think about it. That's actually a perk, man, church.
Yeah.
Like, those are things that you're, that collective groups are attaching to. And then that's the thing is, like, if you're able to be around more people from that group, like, it's a little tough with podcasters or YouTubers. Mm-hmm. But it helps when there's swag around or if you come to the same event, conference, and then you start seeing some familiar faces or similar hats and you're – and then there's that bond.
Yeah.
But then there's, but you know that there's some deeper bonds. It's not just the brand. It's like, oh, okay. That means that they're probably in a da 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 da. This is probably how they think and how they act, roughly.
Yeah.
You know, what they're paying attention to in general, like in the world.
Well, a great example of a company who I think has really, in most areas, there's some areas where I think they're not doing as good of a job, but most areas I think they're kind of killing it with branding, and that's ClickFunnels, right? ClickFunnels, if you look at ClickFunnels, they've branded the term, I'm a funnel hacker, right? If you go to any like internet marketing related conference, TNC, shirts. Funnel Hacker, even the podcast events, you'll see shirts everywhere that say, I'm a funnel hacker,
yeah,
right? Like that's
hashtag, that's all blown up Instagram,
the term,
all that.
The term funnel hacker is entered into like the lexicon of like entrepreneurs now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, now people identify as funnel hackers. You might see an I'm a funnel hacker. Like, you might be at the zoo one day and you see another funnel hacker shirt. You're like, I know what that guy does for a living, right?
Yeah,
you know, sure. Like they've done a really good job of creating that tribe around them. And so, like, if we're getting into, like, some practical things that you can do, like, that's one of them. Start trying to brand some terms, right? Like,
and we've actually chatted about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, we have all sorts of different terms. And sometimes, it's almost like naming the group up, which we've never found a good name for Hustle and Flowchart.
Yeah. We don't like hustlers. Everybody suggests hustlers, but we're not a fan of hustlers because we're not like this show's not about the hustle.
We're not porn stars either.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. We have no relation with Larry Flint.
We don't. But his wheelchair sounds pretty
cool. Is that Hustler? I think that's Hustler. Okay.
Yes. His golden wheelchair. At least he did a long time ago. I don't know if he's... Is he alive still?
I have no idea.
I haven't kept up with my Hustler news.
Yeah.
Ever.
I haven't been involved in the porn industry in like months.
Hey, you made it big. I remember that one video. We won't talk about that. All right. Yeah. That's not me.
I don't think they'll allow that to be aired in the U.S. anymore. Like, even on the internet. Like, I think it's banned in the U.S.
You would be blacklisted, canceled, and all the above.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! But this is a different Matt now. Please don't cancel us. We want to stick around and keep yakking about stuff.
Yeah.
Where do we take this? Because I feel like some action steps are good.
I like that. So branding some terms, but some of the things that I think people don't think as much about is like, we've really kind of put focus into like color schemes too. Like, one of the things that we actually spend some time doing is like, okay, let's make sure that this imagery kind of fits the brand image. Like, we mm-hmm. literally have somebody on our team made a brand style sheet for mm-hmm. us of, like, these are the fonts you use in your brand. These are the colors you use in your brand. So you get this, like, brand consistency. So when people go to our website, it looks similar to if they're on our YouTube. Mm-hmm. And those look similar to the emails you're going to get from us. And those look similar to what you might see over on Instagram from us.
True.
Right? Like, we created that brand consistency. And before, we were just kind of making images and slapping them up, and there was no color schemes, no fonts, but now there's like this real consistency across everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because it's gotten to a point now where, like, when people go and see like the yellow and black and that font, they just associate, oh, that's a Hustle and Flowchart thing, you know?
Yeah, and that's where thinking about our website and like matching all these things, it's like, that's probably the trickiest thing for us is like, what is that public perception, which colors are part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll just say it like with the mock-up that we have right now, which we haven't like ripped it apart yet because we will, and that's a good thing, but like it has very sunset-y colors, mm-hmm. which is amazing because I'm like, that's my favorite time of the day, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is the case for a lot of people, but also it doesn't match our yellow branded icon in like iTunes and Spotify and stuff.
Yeah.
But that could be changed, mm-hmm. but we just don't want to change it too much.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I like the orange vibes because it is kind of like this kind of chill.
We're going to find that happy medium.
We will. But yeah, it's interesting to think about all the, like, it's like a balancing act.
Yeah. Almost. And another thing, like, and we've talked about this on the show before, but at one point we tried to change the intro music, like mm-hmm. temporary, like we changed it for like maybe 4 or 5 episodes mm-hmm. where we, you know, we have our normal beatboxing.
Death threats and all that.
Well, I mean, that might be a little dramatic, okay, but we had people coming to us going, what happened to the intro? I like the old intro. What's with this like new thing? It's good, but it's like the old one was like you guys, mm. right? And we realized that we added this like polished, highly produced intro into it.
Yep.
And that wasn't our brand. Our brand was like the guys who are just kind of fucking around.
Yeah. Oh, you said it.
Oh, shit.
You.
We decided we were going to cuss less, huh?
Yeah, and I don't think I've committed a single cuss, and you just went bam, bam.
Ah, shit.
Bam, bam. 1-2 punch.
Okay, that was it. That was it. I'm done.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, shit. All right. So let's, I think that's, I mean, so the last thing I think I want to talk about is, and I don't know if there's a lot here, but the mission.
Yeah.
Like kind of talked about the North Star, like, so we've been doing a lot of work. I mentioned Angelo.
Let's start with, like, let's talk about the Mr. Beast example real quick. And then,
okay.
So, like, with Mr. Beast, this video that we were watching, and we'll link it up in the show notes below, both the video and, if you're listening on audio, on the show notes page. But the Mr. Beast video, he talks about how his entire goal with what he's doing with all of his YouTube channels mm-hmm. is to essentially die broke, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's making all of this money, millions of dollars a month. He reinvests every single penny into making the videos and into philanthropic efforts, right? His main thing is to build homeless shelters and food pantries for people, mm-hmm. right? So all of the money that he's making is either going into these videos or going into these food pantries. So he has this bigger why behind what he's doing. And like, I think a lot of people look at Mr. Beast and they go like, oh, he's just this silly guy who gives away Lambos and has plays video games with his buddies and screws around. But like, it's very methodical. Like, the videos are very, very well thought out to like sort of plug into the YouTube algorithm so they get lots of views. But then once he gets those views and YouTube pays him for those videos, he has a plan for where all that money's going. It's mm-hmm. part of it goes into like reinvesting the next video, and part of it goes towards this bigger mission of food pantries and homeless shelters. Mm. And like that bigger mission is what drives him to make bigger and better and like more interesting videos, because he knows that by doing that, he can raise more money for these causes that really matter to him.
Mm-hmm. So technically every video you watch on a Mr. Beast channel is helping to fund food shelters and pantries and all, or not food shelters, homeless
food shelters and homeless pantries.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, those two. So it's cool to know. I mean, we would have not even known that unless we saw that interview.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, that's the mission. So he obviously has a clear mission. I don't know if he was aided in that mission. It doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. he has a team, you know, it helps him execute a lot of the business stuff. He has his focus on creating really freaking good content for YouTube. That's his, but he knows that drives everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool because he can create a solid brand about how he wants to, you know, get perceived out there. That's where he puts all of his attention. And then he knows, like, okay, this brand that I'm building right now is going to have this ripple effect into everything else that I really want to build into, and I'm just going to dump all my freaking money into it to produce the best content on like the top of the funnel, I guess, like more the megaphone. I'm going to use that reference, Matt.
Okay.
And then, it's not going to work, actually. We'll bring it back another time.
Yeah, we'll bring it back.
But, like he's just shouting from the mountaintops with the best content that's the most engaging thing. And then he knows that his mission is actually to do this other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just funding everything.
Yeah.
And so identifying whatever that mission is inside your brand, I think is going to be the driver that pushes, because I think it's going to be the thing for us, and we are technically still looking for this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's one of the things we've actually sort of struggled with over time is like, what is that bigger mission? Like, we don't want to just be creating content and making money for the sake of creating content and making money off of it. Like, we want to have that bigger mission that we're driving towards, and we've talked a lot about it. We've got ideas. We kind of have a little bit of a vision. It'll probably be another episode where we break down the vision, but yeah, like that.
We just don't know how to get there yet. I think that's the thing, and that's why Mr. Beast and probably a lot of people with this is they bring on experts and people to help them out to actually execute that, because we don't need to know how to do it all.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool to at least, like you and I think we've identified roughly where we like the thing for Matt and I is like we want to give back to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Education is a big thing. I've fostered kids, so I would love to somehow get involved with foster children, people that like don't have a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
And like somewhere around there, I think is where we'll be. We don't know how exactly.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's the climate change stuff is getting scarier and scarier, there's a lot of things there that I think we want to figure out better ways that we can be contributors towards the solution instead of the problem. So there's a few areas that we're exploring that we want to go really big on, and that'll be stuff that we sort of share over time. But
I think that's a big piece of branding that I think is not, and that I think that's that comes out with the flavor that we put out into the world, because that's just always going to mix in with our messaging, might be on our website, talked about occasionally, or the guests that we bring on are going to lean towards like mental health, for instance.
That was the third piece. There was a triad.
My dad to suicide. Yeah. So it's like, shit, I'm pretty into that now. And I have a lot of friends. I know we've experienced mental health battles and family as well. So it's like, there's something there. So, we're actively working through that, and I don't know, maybe there's a, that's why I brought Angelo up again, because
let's circle back around to that.
We're doing a deep dive on Alpha Hippie, and there's writing your legacy as part of it and all these other things. But that really has been opening up my mind into, what is this future thing? Like, how do I want to be remembered 200-300 years from now? And like, that's so damn hard to fathom. Like, is the world even going to exist in 200-300 years? Maybe not as we know it, but I bet some people will be around. So ideally, we want to leave an impact somehow. And one of the things that Angelo brought up when he read my legacy, I won't go into all the details, but he's like, does this bring fear to you? Like, does it bring you fear somehow? And I was like, nah. And he's like, and I was like, I'm good.
It's not big enough.
And he's like, it's not big enough. You need to have some fear to strike fear in you, so it actually drives you further and gets you to do a little bit more out of the box and expand yourself bigger. And it doesn't mean it's not fulfilling or it's going to be it's going to be great, but it's going to push you. So I figured that for myself, but I think that's what a mission does for a brand too. Mm-hmm. It's going to allow us to elevate ourselves, like how Mr. Beast is doing that, Jimmy, and how he has this like desire to pump all, like go broke and dump all of his money back into his freaking YouTube videos, where he's making like, what you said, like 14 million or something.
There's a Noah Kagan video where he breaks down how much Mr. Beast is making, and I think he came to the conclusion that he's making like 14 million.
And he's in his 20s. And the guy literally goes broke every video because he's dumping everything into high production, giving away Lambos, houses, all that. But he knows the earnings from those videos are going to get dumped into this mission that he's built.
Yeah.
And that's fucking cool. The internet breaks. So, but that's where I think the brand and like a mission, and you got to have at least some kind of mission there.
Yeah.
And that's that North Star that might be more external, like the businesses. Yeah. internal North Star,
and then really sort
we
of
have our own too.
Really dissecting Mr. Beast thing, and this is, I think this is actually a topic for another episode. But he's basically building a media company, and I think a lot of people are looking at him like, oh, he's the future Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt, like he's the future celebrity. No, he doesn't want to be the future celebrity. He wants to be the future Fox, the future NBC, the future like
bigger.
He wants to build the media company, right? And a lot of our aspirations are around building a bigger media company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but I feel like that's like a whole that's and a whole episode.
We've alluded to that a lot, but I think. It's getting a lot more defined, but that's where our heads are.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to now think of branding in this way with a deeper thing with mission and the relatability, like making sure that's all tied into it, because that should help us make decisions and help us to say, that's not a good opportunity. We don't need to do that. But like, it just helps us kind of really drive things forward and go bigger than we thought it was possible before.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if our goal is only ever to make the podcast bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it's lame. Kind of a shallow goal that will probably...
Just like money is.
Yeah, right? Just like money is, that we'll probably get bored with like striving for. But if the podcast was the machine that facilitated this larger goal, then it makes sense to make the show go bigger and bigger and bigger because it's facilitating this thing up here.
It's a tool.
Yes.
It's not, it's just like money is a tool. California burritos are a tool. Marijuana is a tool. Alcohol is a tool. If you use it in the right way.
Yeah.
Just saying all these things are a tool. Branding is a tool.
Out of all those tools, alcohol is the tool I'm trying to cut out of my life. But
I'm just trying to, yerba mate is a tool.
It is.
The iPhone's a tool. I mean, yeah.
Tobacco is a tool too.
I think that's.
Nicotine.
It's how you frame things and how you use things. But at the end of the day, I think that's a. This is a good discussion around branding. Huh?
Yeah, I think we covered the ground
branding
we wanted to
a
cover.
Tool.
Yeah,
I didn't even read that whiteboard that we had back there. I
mean, we kind of jumped around from the initial flow, but I think it worked.
It's good. Did good. High five. I've sweaty palms. You don't want that.
So this episode is obviously, as always, supported by amazing partner.
Oh, yes. That one should be obvious because it's been years.
Yeah.
Easy Webinar. Our friends are basically, they feel like our family now.
Yes.
We've known Casey for years and know his family and the team. And you know what? Easy Webinar is who's sponsoring it. Not Casey personally.
Yeah.
But you know what? We love the team.
Yes.
So Easy Webinar, they do everything webinars, everything you can think of. They got you covered. And they're hooking you up. Fatty. Yeah. Why shall folks choose Easy Webinar over the others?
Well, because Easy Webinar does all the webinars.
All
it does
them.
The
easily.
Lives, the automateds, the hybrids. I feel like I just repeat myself on every episode now. But you know, the listeners know why they should get Easy Webinar. They most likely all have it by now because of how awesome it is. So just go to easywebinar.com.
Well, you should hold on to it. If you have it already, then you've obviously been hooked up with a fat discount. So maybe their sponsorships are because they want to retain customers as well. I like that.
Yeah, so stick around with Easy Webinar. If you don't have it yet, though, you can get a discount for being a listener. If you go to easywebinar.com/hustle, you can get a discount.
And we don't know how long that discount will last. It's lasted a while, but that's to your benefit.
Yeah.
And because Casey loves you.
Casey loves you.
And us.
Because you're a Hustle and Flowchart listener. So keep listening if you want more people to love you.
Wow.
That didn't come out right.
Not at all. Wow. We're going to end on that note. We don't have, well, you know what? We'll read reviews next time.
Yes.
Next week.
Yeah, but we did get some new reviews, and we're going to read
new
them.
Ones.
I was going to print them out, actually, so we had them in front of us, but I forgot.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, we're recording podcasts in a couple days, so.
There you go.
There you go. I don't have a printer at home. I'm not an old man like you.
Yeah. I mean, printers are kind of nice to have sometimes.
They are. I know. I just need to buy a new one. They break often.
Yeah. one last thing I want to remind you. If you want the notes for this, you can go to flowchartgroup.com and join our Facebook group. And in that process, we will hook you up with the notes. So flowchartgroup.com.
Also, if you don't mind, if you're still here hanging out and enjoying our
voices.
If our voices in your ears or our beautiful faces. Thank you.
That was the ear massage.
That felt good.
Right?
Turn up the bass. check out hustleandflowchart.tv. That's us on YouTube. We are desperately trying to break the 1,000.
We're desperate. We're begging. We're on our knees.
We're so desperate. We are like 100 away. So be our super fans and tell everybody else if you haven't subscribed or if you've subscribed already.
Yeah.
If you haven't, go hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, all that stuff that I don't know does.
I thought you're supposed to smash the like button.
Smash it, tap it, whatever feels right. Just we
blow
we,
on it, rub it a little.
You got to clean your monitors, your phone screen. So
on that note,
go check us out, hustleandflowchart.tv. Leave a comment, tell us you're there, or and leave a review.
That would be great. We'll read them.
We would love to
read
them and call you out in a good way and give you some notoriety.
Yes.
Being awesome.
We would love to do that. Bye-bye.
Next time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.